Welcome to today's On This Day in Tudor History. I'm Claire Ridgway. Tudor history is what I do on a daily basis. I research and write about Tudor history. I've published several books on the subject, and I also run two Tudor history websites, the Tudor Society and the Anne Boleyn Files. Now today, what am I going to talk to you about today? Well, I'm going to go back into the reign of King Henry VII. For on this day in Tudor history, the 27th of June 1505, 13-year-old Henry, Prince of Wales, only surviving son of King Henry VII and Elizabeth of York, renounced his betrothal to 19-year-old Catherine of Aragon, Catherine being the daughter of those renowned Catholic monarchs Ferdinand II of Aragon and Isabella I of Castile. Now, Henry and Catherine, who Catherine was the widow of Henry's older brother Arthur, they'd been betrothed since the 25th of June 1503. And according to the terms of the marriage treaty, which had been negotiated between their parents, they were due to get married on Henry's 14th birthday, that is to say the 28th of June 1505. So young Henry here was renouncing or repudiating their betrothal the day before their actual wedding was due to take place. So there's nothing like leaving it to the last minute to decide on these things. Why would Henry do that? Well, Henry claimed that the betrothal had been contracted without his consent. But it may well be that he'd been told to say that. One of my favourite historians, David Starkey, points out in his book, Henry Virtuous Prince, which I highly recommend. It is a wonderful book, an examination of Henry's sort of early life and early reign. He points out in that Henry had agreed to marry Catherine because his father told him to, and that he reneged on his promise for the same reason. So because his father told him to. His father, the king, was very much in control of the situation. But why would Henry VII want to break up an alliance like this at the last minute? Well, when Catherine of Aragon had married King Henry VII's eldest son, Arthur, Prince of Wales, going back here to November 1501, she'd been an important young woman. She'd been one of the daughters of the powerful Catholic monarchs of Spain. However, her mother Isabella had died in November 1504, and neither Isabella's husband Ferdinand or Catherine were heirs to her kingdom of Castile. Instead, her kingdom, the crown of her kingdom, went to Catherine's older sister Juana, who was wife of Archduke Philip of Burgundy. So in 1505, Catherine, as the younger daughter of Ferdinand, King of Aragon, and the sister of the Queen of Castile, was not quite the important catch she had been back in 1501 when Henry VII had married her off to his son Arthur. Henry VII now believed that his remaining son could do a lot better in the marriage market. Henry VII went on to cut off Catherine's dower income on the grounds that only half of her dowry had been paid by the death of Prince Arthur in April 1502. So the period between the summer of 1505 and the summer of 1509, when Catherine went on to marry Henry VIII, these years were ones of uncertainty and worry for Catherine. She was in a very bad position, sort of financially, and not knowing what was going to happen to her. She did, however, keep in touch with her ex-fiancé, Henry. And David Starkey notes that she showered him with gifts of jewellery, sending him a diamond ring as a New Year's gift in January 1506, and a girdle of white satin with a gold buckle of Spanish work in January 1507. And the prince reciprocated, sending her an emerald ring in 1506 and a fair rose of rubies set in a rose white and green, of course the white and green being the Tudor colours, in 1508. David Starkey does, however, point out that these gifts from Henry to Catherine were recycled from presents that he'd received from others. He hadn't had them commissioned specially for her. And that he also used the presents that Catherine gave him as presents for his father. He was into recycling. He was a man ahead of his time, Henry was. Catherine hoped that the prince would be kinder to her than his father when he came to the throne on the death of Henry VII in 1509. Would the new king, would he go back to the original promise and take her as his wife? It seemed unlikely. According to the Spanish ambassador, it was thought that it would burden his conscience to marry his brother's widow. But the doubters were wrong, and negotiations between Ferdinand II of Aragon and Henry VIII and his council concluded on the 8th of May 1509 with a new agreement to the marriage of Henry and Catherine. Now we're just having an appearance by a cat who's going to meow at me till I give her a fuss. Now, this marriage license was issued by William Warham, who was the Archbishop of Canterbury and Henry's Lord Chancellor, on the 8th of June. And the marriage took place on the 11th of June, 1509. It was a very low-key wedding ceremony because Henry was busy preparing a lavish joint coronation for the two of them, which took place on Midsummer's Day, 24th of June, 1509. But why did Henry VIII change his mind about marrying Catherine? Well, in a letter to Margaret of Austria, Henry claimed that when his father was on his deathbed, that he'd begged his son to put things right and marry Catherine. However, the Spanish ambassador put it all down to young King Henry making up his own mind, coming to his own decision. It's impossible to know which version is true. But Henry's words to Margaret of Austria may have simply been an excuse to apologise for not marrying her niece Eleanor of Austria and picking Catherine instead. Why not blame it on the wishes of a dying father? She can't exactly argue with that, can she? Now, Catherine must have been relieved and happy that her years of uncertainty, her years of worry were over. Although, of course, her marriage to Henry VIII was going to be rather a mixed blessing. So that's what happened on this day in Tudor history, the 27th of June, 1505. Prince Henry, the future King Henry VIII, broke up with his fiancée, Catherine of Aragon, said, "I don't want to marry this woman anymore." He went back on this marriage agreement, this alliance, and said that the contract had been made without his consent and he didn't want to do it anymore. That was the eve of their wedding as well. Thank you for joining me for today's On This Day in Tudor History. You can, of course, subscribe. You can hit the bell to be notified as my videos and talks go live. And, of course, you can like and you can comment as well. It is wonderful to have you following and to have you joining in. And it's very heartwarming to hear that you enjoy what I do. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I do hope you enjoyed it. And don't forget to subscribe so that you can enjoy podcasts on a daily basis. Thank you.